comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, wherever you happen to be all around this gorgeous planet. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, that's a guarantee. It's the show where you matter. For those of you who are brand new to the show, you may be wondering, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, anybody can say it's the show where you matter. Well, you do matter. Those who have been listening for some time may be aware of the fact that probably 80% of the shows, somewhere close to 80% of the shows that we do, are guests that have been recommended by you, or they are topics that you have recommended. And so, you know, when you send me a suggestion, I take it seriously, and we try to do something with it if we can. But really, it's somewhere close to 80%. This Saturday, I'll be in the chat room, and the reason is, you know, normally on the very first Saturday of the month, I go into the chat room. But on the first Saturday of the month, I couldn't be in the chat room because I was appearing on Jerry Will's show as his guest. And so what we will do is move our chat to this Saturday. And if you're not a member, now's a good time to become one. It's 23 cents a day, $6.95 a month. Cheaper if you go quarterly. Less expensive even yet if you go annually. And so it's a great value. I sometimes say take 23 cents to the store and see what you can get. Virtually nothing. Probably nothing. But for 23 cents a day, you get to watch the shows. You get to watch the latest show. You get our archives called the K-Pods. You get our chat room, our forums, our library that has e-books that you can download for free, our video galaxy. And by the way, I've got several videos lined up to add to the video galaxy. It's been a while since we've added any. And we've got some that we are going to put in there, and so it will expand. It will get a little bit bigger. Now, if you are not subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, you don't have to be a member to do that. It's free. And if you're not subscribed, you want to be sure you do. It is called the K-Files. So all you have to do is you just go over to my website. It's KevinSmithShow.com, and scroll down a little bit. You will see a link right in the middle of the page that says K-Files. Now, if you click that, you can subscribe, and then you'll start getting our free weekly newsletter. And there's no reason not to do it. It's free. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want, okay? So you're not locked into it. And we don't share that list with anybody. We don't rent it out, loan it out, lease it out. We've had offers, but we don't do that. And so you're not going to be spammed as a result of having subscribed. Tonight, we're going to be discussing NASA and their new mission, just briefly. And then we're going to open up the phone lines for you. It's BYOT night. Bring your own topic from anywhere in the world. We'll be back right after this. remember the beginning of the Star Trek series? You know, where you hear the voice of, well, originally I guess it was Captain Kirk, and then the succeeding versions of Star Trek had a different voice in there. But they said to boldly go where no man has gone before, to seek out new life, and so forth. Well, NASA has, I think, probably a new intro that we could give to them. Goes something like this: to timidly go where many have gone before, to seek out new funding for less space exploration, to fade into the sunset as a relic of a once great spacefaring nation. Well, what do I base that on? Well, Charles Bolden, the guy in charge down at NASA, really has kind of a nasty job. He was appointed to a space agency. He was appointed to head America's space agency. But under the new plans outlined by the White House, that's pretty much changing. He says NASA, well, the article says NASA may not be going to the moon anytime soon. And Reed, that's code for there's going to have to be huge changes in Washington in order for NASA to be able to go back to the moon, either at the White House or at Congress or in the Senate or in all three. But under the current situation, they're not going back to the moon. But Charles Bolden says, well, this just means there's going to be more jobs. It could increase the number of jobs at NASA. And why is that? Well, more of those jobs will be on research into, are you ready for this? Airplanes and climate change. Now, NASA has just admitted that their climate data was less reliable than the data of the Climate Research Institute, which had all that bogus stuff about climate change and the rig numbers. And, you know, they talked about cooking the numbers and withholding data and so forth. NASA has admitted that their data is even less reliable. So we're going to put more people to work doing this less reliable job, climate change research. I got a little bit of something to share with you about climate change here. The two stories go together. The space shuttles will be mothballed within months. And instead of spending tens of billions of dollars on the moon mission, the current administration plans to divert the money to researching new rocket technology for general exploration. Now, what does that mean? General exploration. We just kind of generally want to get out there, right? And look at what? If you don't have a target, how can you know whether you hit it? If you aim at nothing, you'll hit that. General exploration, okay. Fostering commercial space industry, climate change science, and airplanes. According to Bolden, the ultimate exploration goal is Mars. Well, that's not general exploration, Mr. Bolden. That's a specific target, and that's written out of your new plan. And pretty much takes us out of the spacefaring business. As I say, to timidly go where many have gone before, to seek new funding for less space exploration, and to fade into the sunset as a relic of a once great spacefaring nation. NASA's new mission, according to Kevin. I've been a great supporter of NASA, a critic as well. And I've said we ought to double their budget and tell them, let's get on with this. Let's get out there. Let's go to the moon. Let's go to Mars. Let's get on with this. But under the current no astronaut plan, I think they should be closed. I think NASA should be shut down, locked up, and written into the history books if they're not going to be sending astronauts into space. Well, they're going to study climate change. Whoopee. A U.S. geologist says that she's discovered a pattern that connects regular changes in the Earth's orbital cycle to changes in the planet's climate. Now, it seems that every 100,000 years, what happens is the Earth's orbit around the sun changes. It either elongates and becomes more elliptical, or it becomes more circular. And every 41,000 years, there is a cycle for the change in the Earth's axis tilt. So what she discovered by taking core samples from the bottom of the ocean is that glaciation, that means the establishment and expansion of glaciers, occurs every 100,000 years. And the timing of those changes in the climate and the eccentricity of the Earth's orbit coincide. So if the Earth adopts a more circular orbit, that changes the climate in one way. And if it becomes more elongated and elliptical, it changes the orbit in yet another way. And according to her study, she says this may mean that the Earth's climate has internal instability in addition to sensitivity to changes in the orbit. Climate change is a reality. Global warming is not. The data is pretty firm on that. Climate change, if it weren't happening, would mean the planet is dead. The climate has been changing your entire life. I remember when I was a kid what the weather was like in Dallas, Texas, because I lived about two blocks from the schoolhouse, and because I was so close, my sister and I walked to school every day and walked home from school. These days, that might not be safe. The changes that have occurred here on this planet, and in particular here in this country, the changes that have occurred sociologically are by far more important and by far more dramatic than the changes in climate. But I do remember that the climate was much different when I was a kid. The patterns are different. When it gets cold, that comes at a different time. When it warms up, that comes at a different time. It's slightly. It's not off by a whole lot, but it is different. So climate change is a reality. It is happening. But the evidence does not support the idea that you caused it. All right, tonight is open line. And that means that a couple of things. One, bring your own topic. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. And number two, if you have ever wanted to call in, you've ever wanted to say, here's my topic, here's my question, this is what I want to talk about, and you couldn't get in, well, tonight is a much better night to try. because since it's BYOT, since it's open line, you have a much greater chance of getting through the pack and in to the studio. We have more telephone time available. All right, now, the telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. That's the main number. Use that one if you have a calling plan where it will not cost you long distance. 623-444-5889. Now, if you don't have one of those calling plans and it will cost you long distance, feel free to use our toll-free number. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. If you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, we don't have a toll-free number for you because we could not get a toll-free, international toll-free. Looked for it, couldn't get it. But what we do have is a flash message option. You can go to my website and scroll down, and you'll see a link that says flash message, okay? But you have to be outside the USA, and you have to be outside of Canada. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
I just wanted to start off the show tonight by, I want to see if there's anybody in the audience that is interested in doing a sky watch this summer at Gilliland's ranch. I want to see if there's anybody that's interested in doing that. I'm thinking about organizing some sort of a sky watch there this summer, and I just wanted to put it out there to see if there's anybody that has any interest in it.
Okay, if they have an interest in it, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can email me rwa100@gmail.com, and you know, there's objects, UFOs that are flying over that ranch nightly almost, and there's some people that say that these are just earth lights coming out of the mountain,
mm-hmm.
gaseous lights, but how can you explain the objects that approach the mountain coming from the north? They come in from high elevation, and then they get real bright as if they're getting some kind of energy off the mountain,
mm-hmm.
and then sometimes they fly off in a different direction. So I don't see how you can explain those as mountain gas.
Well, you couldn't, but of course they are Chinese wedding candles.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're flares.
Probably not flares, but I'm sure it's Chinese wedding candles.
So, Kevin, I know that you think you're getting old, but you know you're really not. You ought to come up here and one of these nights. I know. Okay, here's the thing. Anybody that's interested in going to his property, it's open Friday through. It's open. You go to his website, and you can always camp out on the ground if it's nice weather. Or he does have rooms available. I think there's a small charge for those. But I know that Brooks Agnew is going to be here on the 4th, and he's having a conference with Mary Rodwell, Brooks Agnew, Dolores Cannon, a few other people. So I just want to put the word out there that there's something extraordinary going on down there that's been going on for years and years and years. And if anybody wants to get together, just get in touch with me. And I think it'd be a good idea this summer to get everybody for a sky watch down there.
Okay.
Very interesting.
And the email address again, where they can get in touch with you?
rwa100@gmail.com.
Okay.
Kevin, I'd like to see you come up here, but I know that you're busy, so.
I would like to come, but even if I wasn't busy, I doubt my health would let me.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
All right, thanks for the call.
All right, bye.
Bring your own topic. 623-444-5889, 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. And on open line night, if you've never called in before, this is a good time. If you have called in many times, this is a good time. But here's the deal. The only thing we ask is that the topic you bring is something within our genre, something within the world of the strange and unexplained. So that means, you know, we can talk about Bigfoot, we can talk about ghosts, we can talk about Mothman, we can talk about possible living dinosaurs, ancient mysteries, space exploration. You remember that. That's what NASA used to do. We can talk about the possibility of extraterrestrial contact. We can talk about ETs themselves. We can talk about UFOs, whatever you want to do. But this thing with NASA really sort of has me charged up. It really does. I cannot see any reason whatsoever that NASA should exist if we're not going to be putting astronauts in space to go do space exploration. I see no purpose for them. Now, there are people that would disagree with that. Of course, we're going to continue to send we're going to dribble astronauts into space, just a trickle of them, for a few more years. But we have to call a taxi for that. We'll be calling the Russian taxi. It's Soyuz Taxi Company. And so our astronauts get to ride in the Russian Soyuz taxi up to the space station. Nothing wrong with the Soyuz. There's something very desperately, drastically, and irreparably wrong with what's happening at NASA. We will not even have a manned space vehicle, folks. Do you understand that? We do not even have a manned space vehicle after the last shuttle flight. All right. Caller, are you willing to hang on until we get back from the break?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, Open Line Live, Bring Your Own Topic Night. And let's go straight to the telephone caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, John from Vancouver Island.
Hi, John.
Hi, Kevin. Just was it Ryan talking about a trip to Gillilands?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to contact him because I've been thinking of doing that and taking my son the last 2 years. So this year I'm definitely going to go. So I'm gonna send him an email, see what he's got in mind.
All right.
Kind of cool. Yeah. The other thing that I just thought I would mention is you've heard of James Lovelock?
Yes.
Yeah, so he came up with the Gaia concept.
Mm-hmm.
Right, now a lot of people think that when he came up with that concept, that it kind of, what he thought was that there was a consciousness to the planet, consciousness to Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
He never meant that. All he came up with was a mathematical formula that involved feedback, like a fractal type of dynamic, where no matter what happened to the Earth, no matter what occurred, it would always kind of right itself and always would kind of move forward and stabilize. Mm-hmm. That was his really brilliant concept. And so he never attributed any kind of consciousness to that. Although, you know, there may be consciousness to that. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is I've heard a few interviews lately with him talking where he's talking about how global warming and climate change, he seems to put the two together, which I don't agree with, is sort of accelerating off into this positive feedback system where there's going to be all kinds of catastrophe. And he just recently was talking about that in an interview. What I would say about that is he's sort of contradicting his own theory, because if something is occurring to in a positive feedback way, say it's global warming or it could be the opposite, global cooling, his theory says eventually the Earth will find a way to stabilize and you know, take into account the fluctuations, the disturbances and all that kind of thing, and we'll just carry on the way it has over billions of years. So I just found it interesting that he's doing doom and gloom, which in a way contradicts his own theory. So I just thought I'd put that out there.
Well, actually, I would say both of those are correct to some degree. But the periods of time it takes for the Earth to stabilize are such long periods of time compared to our own lifespan that you know, anyone who thinks that it, you know, the climate, we know from core samples that the climate has been much hotter in the past. We know it's been much colder in the past. So it's like a pendulum swinging. Now, anyone who thinks they are going to see the pendulum as it's now swinging in one direction, they think they're going to see it reach its end of the swing and start back the other way. They've got to be planning on living, you know, many hundreds of thousands of years. That pendulum swings slowly compared to us. So, you know, in a sense, we have been, I hate to use the word global warming, but I'll use it. We have been living in global warming our entire lives. That's why we were not in an ice age. The very thing that brought us out of an ice age is what they refer to as global warming. But the global warming, as it has been used by the, and what I'm about to say, some people may choke on it, but it's absolutely proven now by those who had a political agenda. And I'm talking about the UNIPCC. They have admitted falsifying information in their reports. They have admitted not using scientific data. They've admitted that their reason was they had to make it more dramatic to try and get people on their side. They've admitted that. Now, that's a political agenda. And so global warming, as used and defined by them, was fiction, is fiction, and will always be fiction. The climate changes, and you know, we have periods of time when it's much hotter. There are periods in our history where it was really hot. When the dinosaurs were around, not only was it hotter, there was a lot more carbon dioxide in the air than there is today, and the atmospheric pressure was several times greater than what it is today. So the Earth is not static. It changes. And, you know, not only is a human life here for just a flicker, the human race, in geologic terms, will be here only a flicker, and something else will replace us.
I went to a site called co2science.com.
Mm-hmm.
This was a number of years ago. And I researched their archives, and they did core samples, and you can go there yourself. And what they said was, they actually found the reverse of what's being promulgated today, and that is they found temperature rises preceding rises in carbon. And so they were, you know, they were saying, well, this, you know, this is what we find.
Mm-hmm.
Carbon is not a greenhouse gas, is basically what they were saying.
It's a byproduct. It gets released into the atmosphere as a byproduct of warming temperatures. Now, the number one thing on planet that on the planet that absorbs carbon dioxide is the ocean. The oceans of the Earth, at the bottom of the oceans, are thick layers of carbon dioxide. Very, very thick layers. Now, if you warm those up, say with a sudden new eruption of an undersea volcano, and you warm that up, it will rise, and as it rises, it will expand, and when it reaches the surface, the bubble pops, and we have carbon dioxide released into the atmosphere. So ocean warming drives the CO2 content in our atmosphere. It drives it upward if the oceans heat up. And if the oceans cool down, then the opposite happens. They begin to absorb CO2 again. Well, we're having unprecedented, in our lifetimes, unprecedented undersea volcanic activity all over the world.
Right. Yeah.
So?
Which might relate to the moon. It might relate to cosmic radiation coming in through the galactic plane. I mean, there's... Or the sun.
Well, or maybe it's just everything. We're in this cycle... And apparently there are several major cycles all due to align at the same time. And, we're just going through this cycle. I'm not anti-science at all. But I am very much anti-stupidity in the name of science and very much anti-politics in the name of science.
Your story of NASA is really sad, and I don't know what to say about that. It's just really sad, and it doesn't make any sense either.
Well, it doesn't. There's got to be something else up. There's got to be the wizard is behind the curtain somewhere. There are some facts that we're not being told because it simply doesn't make sense. It's just like when they had two more missions already built and paid for, the astronauts already selected and trained to go to the moon, and they canceled them. That made no sense. And they said, we had budget cutbacks. These were paid for.
Yeah, okay. I'll just put this out really quickly, and then I'll go.
All right.
Like, I think what needs to happen is a kind of reset back to Kennedy, because he really got the space mission going. But also, you know, I remember him saying, ask not what your country can do for you, rather ask what you can do for your country.
Mm-hmm.
And he also combined that with, you know, space exploration. So a reset back to Kennedy, I think, is necessary, and start from there and rethink things from that point. Because it seems since that point, it's really gone awry for whatever reason. And anyway, that's just my little thought there.
All right. Well, listen, I appreciate the call. Very interesting.
Okay.
All right. Okay, folks, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Reset back to Kennedy. Well, I was thinking about that. I don't know if that's possible, but it might not be a bad idea if it were possible. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello, yes, my goodness, we're talking about old, you know, the volcanic eruptions, and then we talked about old times and some of the climate of the past, and we think about the Ice Age, and then we think about how that may have had an effect on perhaps geology and the way that things work. Have you ever heard of isostasy, Kevin?
Isostasy,
yes.
I can't say that I have.
Well, let's put it this way. You see, let's say you got the weight. Let's say the ice cap that covered all of North America. Okay, imagine how much that must have weighed, right?
Okay.
Keep that in mind. Now take a gel football and then press your thumb right into it, right?
Okay.
Notice that when you press the weight down, the bulges at the sides come up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you take the weight off, eventually the original form of the football is going to bounce back.
Okay.
Now imagine that happening on the magnitude of the weight of the ice caps of the big ice sheets that were on North America and also over in Europe. And then you know that the Ice Age.
All right, you're going to have to hang on because a break just took over. We'll get to you right after the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. We're back. Hey, don't forget Saturday night I'll be in the chat room in the members area. Don't forget that. All right, back to the telephone, and we have Kevin on the line. And so you were explaining the weight of the ice and it makes the earth bulge.
Yeah, and that's what it does when you got that the huge weight of the ice caps pressing down after all this time. Now imagine these ice caps being abruptly melted off, and you know, in relative, you know, geological time, you know what I mean, within a couple thousand years, you know, which did happen about three times, about eight to 15,000 years ago, the flood that Graham Hancock, you know, asserts, you know, wiped out the great civilization that we had here on this planet, and this is by the way I'm getting this information from. But imagine that all that weight, all of a sudden, being lifted off after it was pressed down into the planet. Imagine the kind of seismic activity that causes.
Well, the problem with that is the weight was not lifted off. Because as the ice melted, you have the same weight in water.
Yes, and most of that water ended up going into the oceans. According to most scientists that have studied this over the years, and there haven't been all that many.
Yeah, but the point is, you had the exact same weight.
So, but in some places, though, the isostatic pressure actually did cause some very strong seismic effects, especially over in Europe. And I think we might be seeing some of that, especially with North America, because all that water ended up running into the ocean. So the pressure that was on land, especially around here, it is in some places it still is bouncing back. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah. And speaking of Graham Hancock, I have to tip my hat to that guy. I'm telling you, he's probably one of the best ones that have culminated actual data and very strong evidence to prove that we did have a very high civilization at one point. One case in point is about five about 5 kilometers south off the coast of southern India, and 23 meters under the water, there is a huge man-made structure that deep. The last time that the water would have been shallow enough for that thing to have been built by man would have been at least 11,000 years ago. Long before the establishment science says that we started our civilization high enough to build monuments like that.
And what is it, a temple complex or a city, or what is it?
They're not sure, because it's obviously heavily eroded because of the water currents and whatnot, but this structure is obviously man-made. It is huge, and it is indicative of a civilization that existed in that area when it was above the surface of the water. And the last time, according to every oceanographer, when you take out the depth of it and the way the coastlines form because of the water, the last time that place was above water was 11,000 years ago. And I got that. That is part of the opening chapter, that story. And anybody can look it up in their libraries. Look up that information and whatever science. You get that in Graham Hancock's Underworld. It's an amazing, and not too many people know about that structure. Very little people. Graham Hancock was one of the first people to bring it to light. And even still, that is just one of a few pieces of evidence to prove that there was a very high civilization that existed here long before the Egyptians, long before the Sumerians, and the time that the Egyptians used to call the Zeptepi, the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very fascinated with this ancient culture, and I think perhaps some remnants of that have come into the hands of the people that control this world, you know? Maybe it's you know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you know there's a rock band by that name, Zeptepi?
Mm-hmm. That means first time.
Yeah. They're a good rock band, too. Hey, thanks for the call.
Have a good night, guys.
All right. 623-444-5889. That's the number. And it's Bring Your Own Topic Night. We'll talk about what's on your mind. The toll-free number, 888-223-4599. And you can call that from anywhere in the United States or Canada. Now, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message option. Go to the website, scroll down, and you will see the link that says Flash Message. But you have to be outside of the USA and outside of Canada. All right, to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. My name is Randy. I'm a first-time caller, and I'm calling from Manteca, California.
All right, Randy. Well, let's get some applause up here for you. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was listening to you talk about NASA and its demise, and I remembered recently about the Air Force getting ready to launch their space plane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an unmanned space plane. It's the X-37B.
Yeah.
And it appears that some of the launch activity at NASA is being delayed simply to get this thing into orbit and to get it tested out.
Yeah, it looks like a space shuttle.
That's correct. However, it's got stubby wings and it's much smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you say it looks like that they're delaying some things at NASA, what are you referring to?
There were supposed to be several launches at NASA that were coming up recently, and what's happened is it appears that, and I'm looking for the article online right now, but it appears that some of those flights have in fact been delayed, and it was satellite launches and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
what do you think about... I'm sorry, go ahead.
What I find interesting is that there is a complete shroud around the spacecraft itself. And that it is actually loaded on top of an Atlas V rocket. So I believe that even the dynamics of the craft itself are being hidden from public view.
What is allegedly the purpose of this craft? What are they going to use it for?
There is some talk that they may be using it for long-term surveillance or, in fact, launching many satellites when needed.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, what do you think about NASA not having the astronauts flying on our craft?
I think it's a travesty. I mean, I've been watching NASA launch with Atlas rockets all the first space missions they did, the moon launches and so on and so forth, and then the shuttle launches, and it's this is incredibly disheartening.
I wonder how they think that they will have any long-term support for continued funding.
I think what we're seeing is the demise of science and research and development in America, the dumbing down of America. And I think it's also part of the economic situation that's going on. Middle class is being shrunk down to next to nothing. And so do we have money for research and you know, looking outward from the planet? I think not.
If you have money to buy car companies, if you have money to give executives who can then give themselves bonuses for running their companies into the ground, if you've got money for that, you've got money to fund NASA. And, you know, I am absolutely immovable on that, because if we've got all these trillions of dollars that we can spend on this nonsense, then we certainly could double NASA's budget, which would not even be a drop in the bucket of that bailout money. And but they didn't do it. They decided to phase it down. And, you know, I'm with you on that, Randy. I think it's a travesty.
I was just reading, too, that the X-37 is designed to fly at altitudes between 110 and 500 nautical miles. And it's got a velocity of nearly 7,000 miles per hour. So if you think about it, from a military standpoint, it's probably an ideal platform for any future conflicts that may come up on the planet.
Randy, thanks for the call. I have to run. A break just took over. But thanks for the call, and don't wait long to call us again. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back, and it is Open Line Live tonight. That means you get to bring your topic, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. Our first caller tonight was Ryan from Washington, and Ryan had an idea. He said he's thinking about putting together a trip, putting together a group to go up to James Gilliland's ranch, where everyone sees all the UFOs and everything. And if you are interested in being a part of that, he says email him at rwa100@gmail.com. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for asking.
That's good. I'd like to just run some things by you, you know, as far as, you know, I know you take the Bible, and you know about that, and you got a doctorate in that or whatever. And I found out some new things, and from following the Bible, pretty much I feel that everything that is going on in the planet today, mm-hmm. you know, you can find in the Bible, you know, to correspond to pretty much everything that's happening, you know, earthquakes and the weather and you know, as far as the end times and concentration camps and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, people are making this come true because they believe it, so they're making it come true. And in some parts, you know, that could be possible. But there's some things, you know, that it would be totally impossible for them to make come to pass. So, you know, it's, you know, in the Bible it states, God says, you know, you'll see me in everything on the earth, you know, to believe. Why I mention this is that I've seen on TV that they found the actual, you know, because they wondered why none of the cities that they know about in Egypt, you know, says anything about the Exodus. What the problem was is that they never found the city from which it happened. And now a guy has found the city from which the Pharaoh resided in that specific city. A guy backtracked the Nile, you know, because it always keeps moving because of sediment buildup, and then it finds a new trail and it moves over.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of like figured out, ran it backwards to about where it would be back in that time, and they found this huge city. It's all buried completely underground. They found it, you know, with ground penetrating equipment. And, you know, it's all farmland and stuff on top of it right now. But they got the whole picture of it, you know, and they're going to try and excavate it, you know, and then they might finally find proof and documentation, because Egypt, you know, kept good records at the city, you know, of proof of the Exodus, which seems to be quite interesting. And then also, there's a guy that believes that he knows where the Ark of the Covenant is, because he's found in Israel. It isn't on top of the mountain, but it's more or less kind of like on the side of the mountain, of the skull or whatever place
mm-hmm.
that they call there in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he found some plugs, you know, in the ground, you know, which are like 4x4 or whatever, which you would put a post in, and there's three of them there. There's one lower down, and then there's like two higher up to each side. And he dug underneath the middle one down into the ground, and he's seen they got blood. It's cracked from where that post is in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's cracked. And they went down and they tested and dug in there, and they found traces of blood. And they're not releasing this, but supposedly, you know, they believe it's Jesus' blood type. And they dug deeper and they found the Ark. And what it shows is that from that spot, straight down underneath, from where Jesus was crucified, the Ark of the Covenant was hidden back when it disappeared in the days of the sacking of Israel. It's right underneath there, and on top of it, from that straight down through that crack, right down to where the covenant, the Ark is situated, the crack goes completely right down, and it shows that the blood dripped right on the mercy seat of where the covenant is, the Ark is hidden.
Well, that would be a fantastic, fantastic find. Let me say this, though, that any blood that was, if there's blood there, it's not 2,000 years old. Blood is like any other compound, in that everything that's in the compound degrades. As the water evaporates out of the blood, then all you're left with is whatever else was in the compound making the blood. And those things degrade over time. And if it's 2,000 years old, it's not blood. And if it is blood, it's not 2,000 years old. But did you find that on the internet? If you did, send me the link where I can take a look at it, because that is fascinating about finding the ark.
Yeah, that Israel is, having this guy, they mentioned it, and it got out, but they want to keep it, he promised not to divulge where it's at and to keep it a secret for now, because they don't want this, if they do bring it out, what the consequences would that be in Israel, and the Mount of Olives and all this stuff.
Okay, but is all this on the internet?
No, I believe I've seen it on TV.
Mm-hmm. And, well, if you come across anything on the internet that talks about that, I would appreciate it if you'd send it to me. But as far as any blood being there that's 2,000 years old, I would have I would have to look at that with extreme skepticism, because nothing can withstand 2,000 years of time. Nothing liquid.
Yeah. Being a police officer, that even if you scrub and use bleach or whatever, and try and clean up blood, you can spray it with I forget what the stuff is.
It's called Illuminol. The problem is you don't get blood. You simply see the pattern where the blood was.
Well, yeah, that may be more what I'd be talking about than actual, fresh, any kind of fresh blood. They proved that, there was blood that went down through there. What condition it's in or how they verified that it was blood, maybe a more technical thing. I think they can do that.
Well, if there may be some dried flakes of blood, there could be something like that. It's over 2,000 years. You got to know it's going to evaporate and erode, and so by whatever means it got into that crack, other water will get into that crack as well, and. So over 2,000 years, there has to have been a rainstorm or two that has gone down through there, and the water washed into that crack. So I don't know. I would be very skeptical of that. But at the same time, I can't say it isn't true. It may be.
It was plugged up.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody would step in it or whatever. So it was covered. For how long, or if that would be a watertight plug, would be another thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it is interesting. And if you come across any material on that, send me the links.
Yeah. You didn't hear anything about finding that city?
No.
Mm. Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, you can send me a flash message. Go to my website and scroll down, and you will see the link that says flash message, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
How you doing, Kevin? My name's Geronimo. I'm calling from West Palm Beach, Florida.
Geronimo?
Yes.
And Geronimo, have you ever called us before?
No, I'm not. I'm a first-time caller.
All right. Let's get some applause.
Thank you.
All right, sir.
I just have a theory that I would like your thoughts on that I've been playing around with lately. It's about pretty much everything that's going on in the world today. Basically, what if the powers that be, the controllers or whatever you want to call them, are actually trying to facilitate an awakening on the people? There's a great quote by Meister Eckhart. It goes like this. The only thing that burns in hell is the part of you that won't let go of your life, your memories, your attachments. They burn them all away, but they're not punishing you, they're freeing your soul. If you're frightened of dying and you're holding on, you'll see devils tearing your life away. If you've made your peace and the devils are really angels freeing you from the earth. What if we see them as devils because we're on the receiving end of it, but what if they're actually trying to wake us up? That's why a lot of the things they do are pretty much in your face. They're so blatant about it these days.
What is it that they would be trying to wake us up to?
Basically to question the reality in which you live. That this isn't the end all be all to existence. We are just souls. We're not human. Our human bodies are receivers of the soul, and that this material reality isn't really everything that there is.
Well, I would think if the last caller used examples from the Bible, and I'll use one. Mm-hmm. I would think if you lived in Sodom and Gomorrah and those angels came around and called fire from heaven down on Sodom and Gomorrah and you were living there, you would think these angels were evil.
Or perhaps there's a lot of stories of people's near-death experiences, or they talk about people incarnating groups to teach each other lessons. So maybe your best friend, your worst enemy, is actually chosen that role to teach you a lesson. That's why you see all these deaths and the people starvation in Ethiopia or wherever, the poverty everywhere, to teach you a lesson, to see what compassion is, what remorse is, what they're teaching you a lesson. They've chosen to play that role, incarnating here to teach us a lesson.
Well, it could be. Of course, you realize that theory, that view, challenges the sort of accepted view of good and evil, but that certainly doesn't mean that it couldn't be true. There are a lot of accepted views that were accepted for a long time and then discovered to be false. So
yeah, I liken it to darkness and light. You can't have one without the other. It's another polarity of the two. We see them as evil, but they're actually not bad. Everything that happens in your life, anything bad that happens is actually a lesson to you to keep going. You succeed not on your successes, but on your failures. So maybe us seeing the way the world is today is actually it's an awakening. Everybody has this negative view on it. And yet, you know, it's not nice to look at, but you're thinking about it now.
Well, you got a good point. It could be true.
Yeah, I mean, there's another great quote by Deepak Chopra says, we're not human beings that have occasional spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings that have occasional human experiences. So our existence here is just a blip on the screen of what we've actually done.
Would it surprise you to know that the Bible says you're not human?
That we're not human?
That's correct.
No, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not religious at all.
Nor am I.
So people take the Bible whatever way they want to read it. Some people it works for them evangelically, metaphorically, whatever, but...
But see, that has no impact on the Bible. The Bible is a collection of books, And it says what it says, regardless of what anybody believes about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not religious either. But it's written with words. Words have definitions, and it says what it says. Whether somebody wants to explain it away or mythologize it or whatever they want to do with it, but it still just says what it says. And in at least four gigantic places, it says you're not human, and it tells exactly what you are.
Yeah, I mean, I believe we're energy. That's basically what we are. We're not humans. We're not. It's like the carpenter wielding a hammer. The carpenter is in his hammer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our bodies are the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, people, a lot of people like to talk about, you know, advancing the human race, you know, taking us to the stars. Well, it'd be almost like advancing the hammer. If the person that wields it doesn't advance, then the advanced hammer doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe, basically what I'm saying is everything that's happening today is basically for a change of consciousness, to realize that this isn't the end-all, be-all to existence. You know, the currencies, the bills passed, this world isn't going to change with a bill or a document or another ism, basically. Mm-hmm. It has to change with your consciousness.
Well, and I think that is happening. Maybe not fast enough, but I think it's happening. And what happens is, as people are awakened to the fact that this is not it, this is not everything, as they're awakened to that fact, then all of the stuff here becomes less relevant. And that includes the people who are in charge of the stuff.
You stop participating.
Mm-hmm.
And so the change begins. Mm-hmm. As soon as everybody stops participating in this madness, then the change will happen.
I think that's going on. I think we're watching the old paradigm in its death spasms.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Geronimo, let me ask you something.
Sure.
With your name,
mm-hmm.
are you Native American?
No, I'm not.
You're not. Well, I just wondered, because I'm part Native American. But, of course, that is the same name as a very, very famous Native American chief.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, thanks for the call and very deep thoughts. I appreciate it. And don't let this be your last call, but call us again. All right. 623-444-5889. Or toll free 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Oop. Sorry, caller. Pilot error. Let's push a better button. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Stefan from Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Kevin, I was thinking about this whole NASA thing, and perhaps if extraterrestrials are going to be coming here around the 2012 period, maybe NASA is just gearing up for its, or not NASA, but some sort of organization within that is gearing up for its war by pooling up resources. And, you know, when you're about to go to a battle, you don't send anybody in right away. You hold back and you hold back until it's time for you to push the final front in. But then that raises the question, if that's the case, then why are other nations in the world going into space, and we're only going in by proxy?
Yeah, I don't know. That's why I said nothing about this makes sense to me.
Yeah, because the only reason I could see that they're holding off from going into space is because either they don't think it's viable, which is crazy because it's space and there's lots of opportunity out there. The other thing is maybe they think they're under threat. But then why are other nations going? And also really, I mean, even if there is a war, what chance on earth do we think we even have of winning that against an extraterrestrial race or races? It would be like a nation of, well, it would be like indigenous people trying to hold off the U.S. Marines on an island. I don't think we could do it.
Well, I'll tell you something. Depends on the circumstances. Now, think about the Afghan rebels against the Soviet Union when the Soviet Union occupied Afghanistan. The Afghan rebels didn't have high-technology weapons. Even when they did get a few shoulder-launched missiles, they still did not have high-tech weapons. But who won? They did.
Yeah, the Soviets lost and went.
All right. Now take a look at what's happening with the U.S. there. How long have we been there? And the question is,
years.
You know, they had pop guns and rocks compared to what we had when we went in there. And we're still there. So the point, and I don't want to get off into the politics of all that, but the point is you don't have to have superior weapons to win a battle against a superior force. What you have to have is superior will and preparation. And if you have that and you're willing to hang in there, it doesn't matter what happens, you're going to be there again tomorrow. If you do that, you can eventually win, and that has been true all down through history. So, some of that may be the reasoning behind any thought that we could, have a battle with these extraterrestrials. Stefan, you want to hang on through the break?
Yeah, sure.
All right, hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Right, we are back, and it is Open Line Live tonight. Bring your own topic, and we have Stefan on the line with us. Stefan, what I was getting at is maybe there's some of that mentality that, okay, maybe we don't have all the latest, greatest weapons against these aliens, but, if we stay at it long enough, we can eventually win. Sort of Star Wars. And the rebels didn't have the latest and greatest, but they were fighting the Empire. Maybe that's what they envision. I don't know.
I guess what I'm getting to as well, I see your point. I that might be very well true. The other thing, too, is that if that's the case, if we are to go to war against extraterrestrials and we win, then I don't think we can say that they're millions of years ahead of us. I think, if you look at our own evolution, our own weaponry, and how it's evolved, I think at the most we can only say that they're perhaps only dozens of years ahead of us. Because anything greater than that would, they could fight through consciousness. They wouldn't even need weaponry.
They may not be ahead of us at all anymore.
What's that?
They may not be ahead of us at all anymore. We don't know the true state of science. And technology. Everything we see that is all brand new to us is already obsolete the day it's deployed. The date we see it, it's already obsolete. And you've heard me use this example many, many times, but it just stands out. To me, it's as noticeable as the Eiffel Tower, it's as noticeable as the Statue of Liberty. It just stands out there and screams for people to pay attention. And that's during Gulf War I. Norman Schwarzkopf, General Schwarzkopf, giving a press conference, made the statement. The world was just awestruck. You remember what it was like. The world was awestruck to see these missiles that just flew down the smokestacks or flew in through a particular window or things like that. And they called them smart missiles, smart bombs, and we were just all awestruck. And Schwarzkopf said, what you're looking at is basically obsolete. That's all obsolete. And if he doesn't surrender, we have things to throw at him he can't begin to imagine. And when he was asked...
Doesn't that also raise... Sorry.
Well, when he was asked by the press corps, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, the science you see is always 20, 40, 50 years behind what we really have.
Right.
So we may actually have the capabilities that we ascribe to the extraterrestrials. That may be the case.
Kevin, is it also possible that with that mentality that the military has, is it possible that they could say absolutely anything, and even if it isn't true, we would simply accept it?
Sure. Absolutely. And they know that. And, you know, that that can cut both directions.
Yeah.
Saddam Hussein was having fun with the idea that the West thought he had nuclear weapons. He had fun with that. The FBI agent that interviewed him has been on television and talked about his interviews with Saddam Hussein. And this is after they captured him. And he asked him, if you didn't have the nuclear weapons, why didn't you just open up and let the inspectors in and let them prove it? And I don't remember, I can't quote what he said, but I remember the gist of it was that basically it was his bluff. It was him shaking his fist in the face of the USA and bluffing. The problem with using a bluff, and they taught us this in police academy. The problem with using a bluff is you might have to make good on it. And that's why they said you never, ever threaten anyone, because if you do, you're probably going to have to do what you threatened.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, I have more questions, but I'll leave that for another Open Line Light Live. Thanks for the great show.
Stefan, thanks. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Or if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. Jeff in Tasmania says, I have a radio interview somewhere from about 5 years ago with one of the members who was on the expedition that found the Ark. Well, now, are you talking about Noah's Ark, or are you talking about the Ark of the Covenant? I am familiar with an expedition that, a couple of expeditions that claim that they made it to the site of Noah's Ark, and one of them brought some wood back, and but I'm not familiar with anybody that claims to have actually found the Ark. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I did have a guest on that says he has seen it. Sorry about that. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello there, Kevin.
Hello.
This is Tony or Terry or whatever from Norman, Oklahoma.
All right, George. What's on your mind this evening?
All righty. So if the Bible tells us what we are and we're not human, what are we?
According to four places, there may be more, but according to four places in the Bible, it comes right out and calls us Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for gods, with a little g.
And what would that mean?
Well, first, it means we're not human. Meaning, then, that whatever we are, the human side, the material side of things is secondary. Like the caller that was talking about how the human experience is not the be-all, the end-all, that there's, you know, we are spirits having a human experience.
Right, right.
All right, now Elohim is the word that means gods. It's plural. in Hebrew. The I-M on the end of it is the same as if you put a S at the end of a word in English. For instance, if we say car and then cars. Okay, well, in Hebrew, you put a I-M on the end of a word to make it plural. So Elohim means gods. And there's a place where a serpent says, if you eat off of that tree, you will be gods. There is a place where God himself says in Genesis, now the man has become one of us. One of us, what are us? Well, he's Elohim, gods. Psalm 82, he says, have I not said you are all gods? But you will die like men because of your injustice. Now, if I'm going to die like men, that means I'm not men. I'm something else, but I'll die like they do. And then you have a place in John where you have Jesus quoting that. And the religious leaders were about to stone him to death. And he says, well, hang on. I've done a lot of good works in my Father's name around here. For which of those do you wish to kill me? And they said, it's not because of that. It's because you make yourself out to be God. And he said, quoting from Psalms, he says, isn't it written in your own scriptures? I have said you're all gods. So if you guys are gods, what's your problem with me saying I'm the Son of God? And they put down their rocks and walked away. So there's four big places there where it specifically says that we are gods. That would be with a little g, but we are gods. Meaning, of course, that we, while the body is mortal, we ourselves are not.
Then could that also mean that we have powers we're not aware of?
I would take it to mean that, yes.
And I could never remember this. In the you've said it a few times, and I've heard it other places, about there's 238 or 58, what is it, genes?
223 genes.
Where else?
223 genes that are not from here.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Now that is something I've always felt that we're not from here, that we're not native to this planet.
Well, I think, let me see which caller was it, Geronimo. I think Geronimo got it right when he was talking about that, you know, we are energy. That's another way to describe it. We are consciousness. We are energy. And it happens that at the moment we're inhabiting these physical bodies. I kind of view it like driving a car. You know, your car has tremendous abilities. Your car has tremendous power. It can do a lot of stuff. It can drive on level ground, climb hills, go down hills, drive through the snow. It can do a lot of stuff, and it can't do any of it until you get in it and make it happen.
Exactly.
And that's the way these bodies are. They can do lots of stuff, but they can't do any of it until you get in it and make it happen. So
this is,
I kind of view our bodies as like a car that we're driving.
So deep.
Hmm.
This is so deep.
But, you know, a lot of the, I'll use the word masters, in a lot of the religions of the world figured this out. If you read what they wrote, you will read how they teach you to separate your thinking from the purely physical realm that we're living in.
How would you do that?
Well, it's pretty simple. There's not anything in the physical realm that ultimately matters.
Now, that explains a lot.
Look, here's the deal.
About things.
Let's say I don't have food to eat today. Is my body sad about that? Yeah. Is it uncomfortable? Yeah. But whether I die today from hunger or die 5 years from now by being hit by a car, the fact is, the day I was born, I came stamped with an invisible expiration date. The only thing you were guaranteed when you were born is that you're going to die.
Yep, yep.
Okay. And so everything else we do in between ought to be done in a way that makes life enjoyable and happy and as much as possible, unencumbered with worries and care. But what we tend to worry about, are things. Terry, you want to hang on through the break?
Sure.
All right. Tony, I mean. We'll be back right after this. We are back, and we're on final approach. Stan, are you still with me?
I am, Fred.
Okay. But I think it's kind of summed up best in a statement that a very good friend of mine, whom I haven't seen in many years and presume he has passed away by now because of the age, but he was one fabulous, fabulous singer, Mexican-American, and his name was Pete Nunez, and he said it this way. He told me one time, he said, there's an old Mexican proverb. It goes like this: if your problem has a solution, then why worry about it? On the other hand, if your problem has no solution, why worry about it? And it makes sense. If it has a solution, then do it. Fix it. If it has no solution, then it's out of your hands. There's nothing you can do, so don't worry about it.
I agree.
And, you know, it's very difficult for people who right now, many people losing their homes, and then now, on top of losing their homes, they're going to be required to buy health care. And they already couldn't afford that, so since they can't afford it still, they're going to be fined. And if they can't pay that, there is the possibility of jail time. Okay? Now, one way you could, you know, if there's a solution to that, if there is a way for you to get the money, then you do it. If there is no way, then there just is no way. And you don't worry about it, and whatever happens will happen. And just relax. Go for the ride. You'll be all right.
Sometimes easier said than done.
Well, that's because we latch on to what we want, how we want things to be. If you latch on to that and you have an iron grip on how you want it to be, you may get your arms torn off.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes things cannot be the way we want them to be, and you just have to relax and get your surfboard out, and when the wave hits, ride the wave.
Well, there's some things I could say, but first off, I'm not sure how to put them into words, and it'd probably take too long to get into it, so I guess I'll just leave things the way they are for now.
All righty, Rick. I appreciate your call.
And it's always good to talk to you, Kevin.
All right, thanks. Yeah, you know, I don't recommend that for anybody, but that's a picture of how I approach it. And if it works for you, great. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Doug from Atlanta.
Hello, Doug.
First time caller.
Oh, well, let's get some applause on the air for you here.
Thank you, Kevin.
All righty. And what's on your mind?
A slightly different subject. I was wondering if you're going to have anybody else on talking about the earthquakes that are going on.
Well, I'm working on that right now. Nobody really has anything definitive to say about it yet, other than they happened. I will tell you this. It was all over the news. It was on CNN. It was on Fox News. It was everywhere. This earthquake that happened in northern Mexico, they said it was felt all the way to Phoenix. I haven't met anybody yet out here that felt it.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I thought what was interesting is the earthquake for Indonesia they mentioned on the news was a 7.7.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that occurred in Baja, California, 7.2, I haven't heard a peep about.
Yeah. And I think that, points out the sort of selective censorship that lamestream media does. You know,
factor two is that a couple months ago you had mentioned there were over 200 earthquakes per week.
Mm-hmm. On average.
And 4.6 there were 911. I just looked at it tonight and it's 1,263.
Now that's per week or...
That's per week. That's quite a big jump from when you folks first chatted about it in January, which was 200 and something.
Yeah.
Now we're at 1,263.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's an old Jerry Lee Lewis song. There's a whole lot of shaking going on. You remember that song?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I can't sing it for you, though.
Yeah, the earth is rocking and rolling. There's no question about it. And I think it's going to continue to intensify for a while.
Mm-hmm. And what's your theories there?
Well, I just, you know, we go through all these cycles, and it just happens that a bunch of these cycles are coming due all at the same time. And so I think... that the combination of all of these cycles that cause various things to happen on the earth happening all at the same time just kind of has it ganged up on us right now.
Interesting.
And
I
think we're going to live through it. I don't have any doubt about that at all.
And you're planning your big party then on the
December the 21st, 2012, Bangkok, Thailand.
Sounds like a fun time.
It's going to be fun. You ought to make your plans and be there with us. I've already got the place picked out.
That sounds exciting. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, it will be. It will be an exciting, fun party. December the 21st, 2012. Some people have written to me, sent me emails, and said, you're too flippant about this, and, you know, this really is serious. And, of course, all I'm saying is, yeah, so what? I can't change it. And if it's real, and, you know, if the Earth is going to be wiped out on December the 21st, 2012... You got two choices. You can sit around and worry about it or come to the party. I'm going to the party. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. You have to make it real quick, though, because we're just about out of time.
Yeah, hi, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio again, if I can.
Okay.
I was just wondering, you know, we talk about those 230-some genes and only using 10% of our brain capacity.
Mm-hmm.
How about Adam? The Bible talks about how smart he is, and you know he never needed for anything, and he could name all the animals, and you know he was super smart. I'm sure he was immortal at the time. And then after the fall, and God kicked him out of Eden, you know, 10% of our brain, and
223 genes. Yeah. Look, we're almost out of time. Let me just say this. If Adam fell, according to Genesis, he fell up the stairs. He went from being human to being a god with a small g. So if he fell up the stairs, at least according to Genesis. All right, we're out of time, and we've got to wrap this up. Don't forget that Saturday evening I'm going to be in the chat room in our members area. If you're not a member, now's the time to join. Why not? It's 23 cents a day. Come on. Now, how about this? If you're not already subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, why not? Now's the time. It's free. There's no reason not to be subscribed. And we send it out tomorrow night. Okay? So there's time for you to start your subscription right now, and then you'll get tomorrow's edition. Okay? You go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click on where it says K-Files, and subscribe. It's been fun to be here this evening. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been interesting as always. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.